In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Expecting him. He, who is all powerful, wrapped himself in perishable skin. He, who was before all time, had a birthday. He, who fills the universe, became an embryo. Our imaginations cannot grasp the wonder. Our minds cannot explain this divine choice. As theories become a realized promise, and our philosophies become a relationship with the God who becomes part of His creation that He might save it. God incarnate, transforming creatures into children of God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us.
Oh,
From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known.
Joseph traveled to Bethlehem to register for the census. With him was Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Nation, marvel at this miracle. My son.
When the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what was revealed. The shepherds soon returned to their flocks of sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Jesus, your name, Prince of Peace, why is my soul treasures the knees in perfect rest you will keep all whose hope is.
Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill on whom His favor rests.
Tidings of good cheer. Come, carolers, come and join with the angels singing joy to the world. Christmas time is here again. Children, gather around and listen. You'll hear the sound of celebration. Joy to the world.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples.
But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you.
Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Anybody see the clock back there? I can't tell what time it is. 20 till. All right, thanks. Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, Doug. Where did he go? I don't know. Thank you. Glorious Impossible. There once was a man who did not believe in God, and would make his anti-religious views known, especially around the holidays. And that was bothersome for his family. His wife loved the Lord and raised her children to love God. And she took them to church regularly despite her husband's objections and critical comments from time to time. Well, one snowy evening, the wife was taking the children to church. It was getting close to Christmas time and all of that, and they were going to talk about the virgin birth and the baby Jesus in the little farm community church that they had. And so she asked her husband if he wanted to come, and he refused, saying, that story is nonsense. Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous. So she and the children left, and he stayed home. A while later, the winds picked up, and the snow turned into a blizzard. And as the man looked out the window, all he could see was just this blinding snowstorm that was happening outside. So he sat down by his fire to read, and all of a sudden he heard a thump on the window. He went to the window to see what it was, but he could only see just a few feet, and there was nothing there. So when the snow let up a little bit, he decided to go outside and see what it was that made that sound, and he noticed that there was a flock of wild geese out there in the backyard. And they were flying around, kind of in circles, all scattered and all jumbled, no organization, just kind of chaotic, with nowhere to go. They were evidently flying south for the winter, got caught in a snowstorm, and couldn't go any further. And they were in trouble. They were lost. They were stranded on his farm. No food, no shelter. Just flapping their wings and flying around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. And so he felt sorry for them and knew he needed to do something if he could. And he thought that his barn would be a great place for these geese to be able to be safe. So he went outside and opened the doors to his barn and waited and watched to see what would happen. Well, the geese ignored him, didn't even notice, and kept on flying around in chaos in the snowstorm. So he waved his arms and tried to motion them in and all of that, and they got all the more scared and came even less close to coming in. So then he went back to his house and got a loaf of bread and made some breadcrumbs and a little breadcrumb trail from where the geese were at to the barn. But they didn't follow him, and he just did not catch on. So now he was getting frustrated, and he got behind them and tried to shoo them on. That just scattered them in all kinds of directions, no closer to the barn. And finally he thought to himself, why don't they get it? Why don't they follow me? Can't they see that this is the only place that they can be safe and secure in the midst of this storm? And he thought, and he realized for a moment that they just would not follow a human being. And he thought, if only I were a goose, they would follow me and they would be safe. I could save them. And then he thought about it a little longer, had an idea that he went and got one of his own geese from his barn and brought it back out and released it on the other side of the geese. And that goose flew right into the barn where he knew it was warm and safe. And the other geese finally followed him into the barn. And he stood there for a moment as that happened, and he thought about the words he'd said to his wife just a little bit earlier that evening, where he had said, if only... We thought about the words, they thought about the goose and said, if only I were a goose, then I could save them. And it brought back to mind what he had said to his wife a little earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. And suddenly it all made sense. That was what God had done. We were all like geese, lost, aimless, in grave danger, perishing. But God sent his son to become like us so that he could show us the way and save us. And finally he understood why Christ came. But a lot of people think like that, don't they? It's ridiculous. That's impossible. Glorious impossible. That's what Jesus is coming to earth as a babe born of a virgin really is. It's something wonderfully glorious, but also something astoundingly impossible. God became man. The Word became flesh. It's glorious. It's impossible. See, the Virgin is delivered in a cold and crowded stall. Mirror of the Father's glory lies beside her in the straw. He is mercy's incarnation. Marvel at this miracle. For the Virgin gently holds the glorious impossible. In a cold and crowded stall, Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus while a virgin. Having never had intimate relations with a man, she conceived by the moving of the Holy Spirit. In a way that we can't comprehend, God overshadowed her and she conceived. Contrary to all the laws of how the human body works, of how reproduction occurs, God did the miraculous. It was impossible. It's gloriously impossible. We marvel at this miracle. We stand in awe at what God has done. How is it that God would choose a plan that involved such humble beginnings? How does the Creator of the universe, the Master of all, the King of glory, come to earth in a cold and crowded stall in an animal barn? It was up to us. If we had written the script, there would have been parades and grand processionals. There'd be fanfare and balloons and confetti, speeches and honors given out and dignitaries and all of that. But the mirror of the Father's glory slept beside Mary in the straw. He who is the radiance of His glory lay there. Impossible. He is mercy's incarnation. God came in the flesh because of mercy. It was mercy that led God to provide an answer for the problem of sin. Nothing but the purity of His mercy and His love. The kindness of God toward men. You and I love to see acts of kindness. I mean, it's just amazing to see that happen. When somebody helps an elderly person, or we see someone showing care and compassion to somebody that's sick or maybe the handicapped, we see people trying to help others that are suffering. Such an amazing thing, such a beautiful thing, acts of kindness. And no doubt you've been on the recipient end of that, as have I, numerous times. I'm sure we've all experienced kindness from people in our lives. To be shown kindness that speaks so powerfully to us. Maybe somebody went the extra mile in helping you with remodeling your house or putting down some tile or doing some gardening or new landscaping at your house. Maybe they looked after you after a surgery when you really couldn't care for yourself. Maybe they paid your rent or your electric bill when you weren't sure where that money was going to come from. That kindness, that compassion, that kind of Christian love is amazing, astounding. And yet, for the Lord Jesus to leave His throne in heaven and take on humanity, to become a little baby that Mary held in her arms, that's kindness. That's mercy. He is mercy's incarnation. He is mercy fleshed out. He's the mirror of the Father's glory laying beside her in the straw. And the virgin gently holds the glorious impossible. Love has come to walk on water, turn the water into wine, touch the leper, bless the children, love both human and divine. Praise the wisdom of the Father who has spoken through His Son. Speaking still, He calls us to the glorious impossible. If you listen to those words, what you're hearing, phrase after phrase, is impossibility. Impossibility. Walking on water? Impossible. Turning water into wine? Impossible. Touching and healing a leper? Impossible. Love came to do that. Perfect love. Jesus didn't come to lord it over us. He didn't come to demand subservience. He didn't come to force us into obedience. He came to love. Love is what brought Him to us, and love is what He demonstrated through His life. Perfect godly love. Love both human and divine. Fully God, fully man. God in the flesh. Jesus loved as the perfect man, and Jesus loved as the divine God. We see Him welcoming the blind man when others were trying to shoo him away. We see Him lovingly comfort the woman with the issue of blood. We see Him mercifully encouraging the father whose child had died. Of course, He healed both of those. We see Him tenderly embracing the children who wanted to draw near to Him and be close. He cares for our needs with perfect love. But not only physical or emotional needs. Above all, in His perfect love, He knew mankind's spiritual need. He looked out at the multitude and seeing that they were downcast and distressed like sheep without a shepherd, it says that He felt compassion for them. He knew their spiritual plight and He ached for them to come to Him for safety, for security, for salvation. perfectly human, perfectly divine love, all wrapped up in Jesus. God had a message for us, that He loves us, that He offers us forgiveness, and that He's preparing a place for us in heaven to spend eternity with Him. It's amazing. It's a glorious message, a wonderful message. And He sent that message in Jesus. The Father has spoken through His Son. The book of Hebrews starts out with just those words. It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. He has spoken to us in His Son. Jesus is the Father's message. The Father spoke through the Son. He is the perfect revelation, the perfect manifestation of God, because He is God in the flesh, God who came to dwell among us. And it's glorious. Impossible. There's been a movement for decades now among liberal scholars to try to redefine Jesus, to try to strip away all the stuff that they think Christians have supposedly added and made up about Him. And so they try to boil Him down to what they think He really was, and what He might have really said and done. And by the time they're done, they've pretty much tossed out most of the New Testament, and they are left with just the kind of man-made Jesus that they can admire, but not be threatened or challenged by. A nice Jesus. A warm and caring, wise teacher kind of Jesus. Certainly there's nothing left of Jesus as judge. Nothing left about Jesus coming back at all. And really not much left about Jesus coming the first time. He's just a man, a first century itinerant preacher, teacher, philosopher who helped people. He's nice. He's cuddly. Just enough so that a hollow Jesus could never make any claim on your life. And you can just keep Him in a nice little box. Bring Him out when you need some inspiration or something. But by the time these liberal scholars are done with their remaking of Jesus, there's nothing left that's glorious. Nothing left that's impossible. No virgin birth, no incarnation, no miracles and healings, no walking on water, no feeding the 5,000, no raising of Lazarus. And though He may have died on a cross, in their view it was a tragic end to such a good man. But certainly there was no literal resurrection or ascension. If Jesus is resurrected in any sense, He is resurrected in our hearts as a nice sentiment, as a warm thought. Nothing glorious. Nothing impossible. But no. The Father has spoken through the Son. And He speaks still. He speaks life and deliverance and freedom and victory. He speaks hope and joy and peace. He speaks truth. He is the revelation. He is the living message of God's wondrous love. He was bruised for our transgressions, and He bears eternal scars. He was raised for our salvation, and His righteousness is ours. Praise, oh praise Him. Praise the glory of this lavished grace so full. Lift your souls now and receive the glorious impossible. The cross. That's where perfect love would take Jesus. Some people think that Jesus only fainted on the cross, that He survived that ordeal, got away, and went to live out in the desert to the end of His days for the next several decades. Or like Dan Brown in his Da Vinci Code, he and Mary Magdalene were married and had children, and somehow she ended up in France where she raised Jesus' kids. However, as ludicrous historically as that sounds, what such notions tell us really is somebody's view of Jesus, how they are perceiving Jesus. To them, He's evidently the kind of person that would like an easy out. But perfect love would not let Jesus do such a thing. Perfect love, love both human and divine, would lead Jesus to only one place. The cross and the grave. He was bruised for our transgressions, and He bears eternal scars. When you get to heaven, you'll be able to touch those scars in His hands and His feet and His side. You'll see where they pierced His brow with that thorny crown. You'll see His whipped back, lashed over and over, cut to ribbons for you and me. Those are eternal scars. Ask Thomas. He saw them. He touched them. Perfect love took Jesus to the cross. John 5, or Romans 5, 8 says that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Son died for us. And of course, the centerpiece of our faith is the resurrection. The resurrection, a literal bodily resurrection. Glorious. Impossible. We really focus on the resurrection at Easter, but it's all a part of the same story. That little baby was born to die and to be raised again, conquering both sin and death. It's glorious. It's impossible. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, all to save us, all to purchase our redemption, all to bring us back to God, to be in right relationship with God. The Bible calls that grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor and kindness of God toward us. Grace, as the song says, grace lavished upon us. Grace more than abundant, showered upon us. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says that God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you always have all sufficiency in everything. Grace is lavished upon us, richly poured out upon us, and it just keeps coming, never ending, ever plentiful. I'm sure that most of the ladies here at the church have been to a baby shower over the years, if not to several. And what a special time that is for an expecting mom. To have the ladies gather around her, all excited about the coming arrival of her newborn, and showering the new mom with gifts. She sits there, the center of attention, and gift after gift is given to her. They are lavished upon her. How often does that happen in life? Graduation, you might get some gifts. At a wedding, you get lots of gifts, but that's not really the focus, is it? The focus is the new couple, husband and wife, beginning their new life together as a married couple. That's the focus. But at a baby shower, she is the center of attention, and she is lavished with gifts. Now, imagine that experience continuing beyond just the hour or two of that little special program. Imagine that continuing all day long, lavished with gifts. And the next day, and all week long, for several months, for years and years, it just never ends. You're sitting there being lavished by gifts, gifts endlessly lavished upon this expectant mom. That's what has happened to the believer in the spiritual realm. Grace has been lavished upon us, the gift of God's unmerited favor. It knows no end. There is more and more and more. It abounds to you. And it's glorious. Impossible. Leaving the glory of heaven, coming as a baby, born of a virgin, God incarnate, living a life of perfect love, the very message of the Father, then dying for our sins and being raised victorious. Who would believe that? Who would believe it? And yet that's exactly what we're invited to do. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whoever believes. So the writer of this song gives us that exact same challenge. Lift your souls now and receive the glorious impossible. My prayer for you this Christmas is, if you never have, that you might believe it. That you might believe in Him. He is the glorious impossible. Let's pray. Father, in just a few days we'll gather with family and celebrate Christmas. We'll open presents and we'll feel like they're being lavished upon us for the moment. We ask, though, Lord, that You'll help us to pause, and for more than just a moment, but pause at length to think of the lavished grace poured on us through Christ. That this one who is the second person of the triune Godhead, Lord and Creator of all, Sustainer of the universe, the King of Glory, would take on human flesh, a babe cradled by his mother in a barn. It's glorious. It's impossible. But Father, we believe it. It happened. It is history. It is His story. And we celebrate. Father, we just rejoice at this amazing event. Thank You for sending Your Son. What was begun as Your plan from eternity past was formulated through His taking on human flesh, Him being incarnate, and then living perfectly, so that as a sinless offering, He could die in our place and we could go to heaven. We could be forgiven. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. We celebrate You. Amen.